Buzzsprout. I'm going to say that. I'm not sure it pronounces it. But anyway, it's a place where you go, and it's a couple dollars a month. And you can put your podcast. It's for everybody. Spotify, Apple, all the places that you would find podcasts.
You've seen it'll me, go you've this. You've seen me use a computer before.
I'm going to help you.
Thank you. Okay.
And I'm going to come by the office, and I'm going to show you.
And anyone else that calls you.
Yes.
Okay.
Anybody else. I've had residents stop by. Listen, they are so excited about this. I've had offers to help me host it. I think we're going to be okay.
Second thing, of the five that you listed,
yes,
my favorites are All Things Ponce, The Ponce Connection, and Inside Ponce Inlet. I just didn't understand some of them, like Ponce Lightcast.
Yeah.
Ponce Cast. It's just the way I feel about it. All Things Ponce, Inside Ponce Inlet.
I'm going to say it just like you would. My mother told me when I name my children, open the back door and scream it. And if it doesn't sound right, then it's not right. If it's too hard to pronounce, it's going to be hard for us too. Yes.
I do have one question.
Yes.
To follow up on Bill's. So I'm kind of in the same boat with Bill.
Mm-hmm.
So Jane is the same way. So we're going to have a point and click, correct?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you'll tell us what site to go on, like the town website.
So I'll go on Nextdoor, and I'll post the link. Uh-huh. And if you notice Port Orange, they have their own podcast. I actually got trained. Their police department has one. Okay. Ours will be combined with all of our departments. But, yes, it will be literally I know you go on Nextdoor or Facebook. You'll be able to click the link and go right to the web page. I'll have it a separate website page, so you'll be able to go. Each time I put out a new episode, I will advertise it so everybody knows it's out.
Got you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and I agree with Mayor and with Bill. Again, this is Ponce Insider, but I think Inside Ponce is the way it's written up here is Ponce Insider.
I think that
Inside Ponce.
You like Inside Ponce Inlet.
Yeah, Inside Ponce
Inlet.
Likes
Inside Ponce Inlet.
I'm good with that. Absolutely.
You like that?
Yes.
And Bill, that was one of the three you liked too?
Uh-huh.
Ooh.
And just so when we talked yesterday and she suggested that one, I kind of wrote like an intro, and it does sound good with the intro, but if somebody else, Joe, what do you think?
I really like that. Hello.
Ponce Inlet? Yeah, I know. Okay. Vice Mayor.
That's good.
I don't have a
okay.
I don't have a favorite.
Okay, so he doesn't.
I could just read sentences of what it would sound like if we did the. So, hello everyone, and welcome to the first episode of Inside Ponce Inlet. I'm your host, blah blah blah, whoever, and I'm excited to bring you this new podcast where we'll explore the people, stories, and happenings that make our town such a special place.
Love it.
Isn't that
ding.
Nice?
Love it. Ding.
Sounds like
I thought it sounded very professional, but still casual enough, and it tells us what we're doing. But let's open it up to the public to see if anybody has a strong a preference, if there's something you'd like to say. Right now, what seems to be on the table with the council is Inside Ponce Inlet. So does anyone wish to?
Barbara says it's good.
We have a thumbs up from Barbara.
Okay.
Is there anyone?
Karen, thumbs up.
Okay. We've got a thumbs up. Does anyone wish to say anything else? Because if not, it seems to me as if we have a name.
Yes.
Do we need anything further? We have a consensus.
No, I love it.
And
thank
Becky,
you.
Becky, thank you again. It really, this is, I think, very exciting for the town.
Yeah.
So thank you.
Thank you.
Great. Thank you.
Do you watch When Calls the Heart?
Mm-hmm.
Do you watch a show called When Calls the Heart? Shame.
Okay.
That's what they just started. It's in the 1900s.
So we do not have any public hearings, quasi or non-judicial. So we are at 11A. It's the first reading of Ordinance 2025-02, amending the Land Acquisition Fund to allow the expenditure of funds for purposes other than public land acquisition and public facilities. Cliff, would you please read this by title only?
Yes, ordinance number 2025-02, read by title only, an ordinance of the Town Council of the Town of Ponce Inlet, Volusia County, Florida, amending Article 7, Chapter 2, Section 2-322 of the Town Code of Ordinances to authorize the expenditure of funds allocated under Section 2-322 for purposes other than public land acquisition and public facilities, subject to a 4/5 vote of the Town Council, providing for conflicting ordinances, codification, severability, and an effective date.
Thank you very much. Mike, would you like to introduce this?
Yes, thank you. Now, I'll be presenting this one, and I'll try to keep it brief so you don't have to hear my voice that much. This has its origination in last November with discussions of purchasing the fire truck and leasing and financing and how these funds could be used for other purposes. And the reason that is now coming before us is because these funds have been used historically to pay off the loan for the town hall complex and then also the stormwater improvements. So now that these are coming to a close, this money now becomes available. And so the consideration was, do you continue to use this only for land acquisition, or can it be applied to different things? Now, this money does not come from property taxes. It's from utility taxes, and it's quite a bit. As was presented last November, there's approximately $575,000 each year comes into this fund. So the question of the council was, how do we use this for different purposes? The council agreed that it could, but to first have it reviewed by the ESMB. So that was done this past, earlier this month. The ESMB recommended approval. They wanted to have a certain amount go into the disaster recovery fund. And, you know, staff had been thinking that's a good idea. Ideally, what we would like to see is the amount equivalent to what in for Hurricane Ian, which was about $750,000. So that could be accomplished, you know, adding a certain amount each year for years. But if the council wanted to do that, then that would be a separate resolution. But in any case, the amendment itself is pretty simple. It just strikes the words, in the event of a natural disaster or an emergency, and that opens it up to any broad range of uses subject to the town council approval. So with that, we are recommending approval of this change. And then if the council wants to proceed, give us a direction for resolution, and we'll bring that back to you at a later time.
Mike, thank you. And we'll discuss this, and I do want to reiterate that we did discuss, and I think it's a good idea, to have an amount that we would never go below no matter what, and that we do put money aside to as a savings almost with the disaster fund. So it would be the amendment, the ordinance we're looking at, and then a resolution to be drafted after our discussion. So let me open this up to council and see what you think. You start.
Yeah. Yeah, that's, I don't mind. Okay, yeah. Thank you. And again, bear with me. I actually spent a little bit more time on this one. I feel very strongly that the land acquisition fund needs to stay restricted. I fully agree with the funding over the next seven-year period for the new Quint fire truck at the cost of $209,839 per year. I also agree with allowing items to be brought before the town council to be approved, subject to 4/5 vote. Items I do not agree with are the following. Setting aside a certain amount of percentage each year for disaster recovery fund that we currently have set up. Capital Facility Maintenance Fund. This should appear in each budget year as an expense line item fund is currently set up. Capital Fire Equipment Fund. This fund is currently set up and to be used. The new Quint fire truck is going to impact the land acquisition fund. Items that can be reviewed and considered by town council. Funding for heavy equipment purchases, like the backhoe, for the public works, not vehicles to be driven daily. When the 11 vehicles lease expires, this needs to come before the town council so we can make a good business decision. We need to review the cost to purchase versus the life expectancy of the vehicles. After obtaining and reviewing the proposed budget request has gone before, attending and reviewing the proposed budget request that has gone before Central Services Board, the $50,000 request proposed design for the new fire station down the road, this project falls under current land acquisition fund, so we need to be very protective of this current restricted fund. This fund should only be available after a presentation by the town council and approved by 4/5 vote by the town council. Last comment coming from Ms. Amy Wurst, member of the Central Services Board. This is not a slush fund. Thank you.
I agree.
Well stated.
Bill?
Okay. Well, if you look at attachment one and look at how we've used the money over the years, it shows that we're doing this through strictly land acquisition. When we made the proposal for this, for the whatever that thing's called, the fire truck,
quid.
So that we could do that, the quid?
The quid.
Okay. We did that because the fund has been starting to build up, and we saw a way that we could save money in the long run. And, of course, I respect the four-fifths vote, but I also respect the fact of why the fund was originally set up, and that was land acquisition. And then, for now, we did that emergency. And I kind of feel, I think the Essential Service Board was right with the the disaster, but I don't feel right now, I'd like to see a presentation to say why before we say yes to something like that, other than the four-fifths vote, and seriously consider anything that goes in front of us. I think that's really important.
And Bill,
so we did it for a reason, and I don't want to open up the reason, as Skip kind of said, a slush fund.
Okay, so...
And I may be wrong on it, but it's just...
No. Having said that, what are your thoughts on the ordinance as is?
I think we need to go forward with as it is, but don't put the disaster in there, and I think the four-fifth vote is the thing that's going to save
us. And it was never to go in there. That was going to be by resolution. I believe the staff report reads, it was...
55.
Excuse me?
It's lines 43 through 55. In the original paperwork, talking about the disaster recovery. And the resolution part.
I like the four-fifths, for sure. I think that's very, very important. Okay, now tell me about which lines are you talking about?
In the original statement that was put together by Mike.
Yes, the staff report, but in the ordinance itself.
Exactly. I made the motion today. I actually highlighted of where I was going to read that exact motion in, except for the last three sentences, and then adding the first reading.
Yes, and so I think I want to be very clear, because I agree with all of you. We need to hash out further anything else. Mm-hmm. But are we comfortable with the ordinance as is?
Yes.
I think so.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, Gary. I like to be flexible, and I think this gives us flexibility with controls on being flexible.
Exactly, and that was the whole point when we originally did the thing with the fire truck, because we saw we were saving significant amount of money, we had the money, and we weren't breaking what the land acquisition fund was all about.
Well, I agree, because it would seem to me that we need a lot more discussion, a lot more consideration and analysis on anything beyond what we're doing here. Yes.
I do want to make one comment. And through everything I said, it leaves it as is, but it still allows the opportunity for Michael or whomever to come before council, whether it's this council
Absolutely.
Or 5 years down the road, to present something that we have to have. And that's the whole purpose of this. And the way I read my interpretation of what came from the Central Services Board was their recommendation to set up funding and percentages of, you know, for the land, for the stormwater, no, it's not stormwater, for the...
The Disaster Recovery Fund.
And other items.
Yeah,
We're not there yet.
We're not there yet. But they did, I think, recommend the ordinance. It was anything beyond that we really have to discuss. So let me open it up to the public. I know, Mr. Fields, would you like to come up? I think you had something to say.
Steve Fields, 6 Marzul. Thank you for... we're very interested in understanding exactly what the expectation is of the council as far as the land acquisition fund is concerned. It sounds like you're going to continue to look into that. But please understand that it's a tax that we pay. If we didn't have that tax, our electric bill would go down, right? maybe Mike can answer that question, but I believe it's something that, you know, FPL taxes the individual homeowners, and that's how they pay us.
Mike, do you want to address that?
Yeah, that's correct. It does come out of that. There's a franchise fee, and then that the utility pays, but then they pass that on to their customer.
Right. So I just want to make that point that it is a tax of the people. You know, it's not FPL is not just giving us that money, and the other people do. And the other thing I want to address is that, and Mr. Disher has provided this information, is that we currently have a reserve for the fire truck of $115,000. And my recommendation is we give that money to the finance company right now to reduce our interest expense.
Mr. Field, that will be considered by our manager. Okay. We never ignore any citizen suggestion. So
okay.
That we will look into.
So then the next thing I have, we brought up about the $50,000 for a study for the firehouse. I would like to have an agenda item, and I've brought this up to Mike, an agenda item that we discuss as a board and as the citizens about putting a referendum on the ballot and let the citizens of this town decide whether we should fund a new firehouse. Not just five people.
I'm sorry? I was just jotting that down.
Not just five people making the decision for us. It's a major expenditure. Let the town decide whether we really need a new firehouse. And as I suggested to Mike, we could have some open houses just so the citizens can see what the current firehouse looks like.
Excuse me for 1 second. That's always available. No, it's not part of this item. Yeah. Well, I have jotted down what you're asking, which is your suggestion for there to be an agenda item to discuss whether the whole idea of whether there should be a new fire station should be put on a referendum. That's what you asked.
Yes.
Okay.
And I mean, that's
just put it in where the item belongs, Mr. Fields. You know, this we're talking about a land acquisition thing. We're not talking about a fire building. Okay. You had the opportunity at the beginning of the meeting to do it under citizens' comments, and you'll be able to do it again at the end of the meeting, okay?
Just trying to save some
time. I understand that, but please follow the agenda.
And Councilman White brought up the $50,000, you know, so I thought that was part of my opportunity to say that.
Okay. Anything else, Mr. Field? No. Thank you very much. Is there anyone else? Yes. Mr. Carney.
Good afternoon, Mayor. John Carney, 38 Coastal Oak Circle. I guess I'd just like to build on some of the things Mr. Field brought up about the fund. The first one is, my understanding of the history of this is that when the loan was taken out to build the facility here, that one of the requirements of the loan was that money didn't come out of the normal taxation. There was a set aside that they were able to get paid from so that they weren't subject to the whims of the town council to be able to pay that bill out of the property taxes each year. And so I think at that point, and Mr. Disher can give us more details on that, you know, the set-aside monies that go into that fund were fenced at that point, and then now that's grown. And right now it's about 6% of the overall budget. If it's pushing $600,000 out on a $10 million budget. And so I guess I'd like to see, as part of your all deliberation on this, is some thought about, does that make sense to have in a land acquisition fund? That's a very arbitrary number that's just grown over time. It is what it is, and we're just going to leave it fenced. And I don't know what the reason necessarily for leaving it fenced is. I don't particularly think this town has many land acquisition requirements at this time. And so why are we putting away 6% of our money to that cause when at all these budget hearings we hear about things that the different departments need and want and don't have, and yet we fence this money because we've always fenced it for the last 20 years, not because 6% of the budget is the right amount to fence. And now to Mr. Field's point, I mean, no matter where the money comes from, and I think most of the money comes from the same people that are paying the property taxes, because that's who pays most of the bills around here, because there aren't very many businesses. But even if that weren't the case, it's all green and it all spends by the town just the same. So it really doesn't matter the source. What are the priorities? So I'd like to see some weighing of overall budget priorities and not just have, hey, this money's always been put here, so we'll leave it here. And we don't really know why, but we'll keep it there in case we want to do land acquisition in the future. Instead of saying this amount of money for land acquisition makes sense in our overall budget as part of the balance of priorities.
Thank you, Mr. Carney. I think that we can have a further discussion during our budget workshops because we look at the entire picture at that time. And I appreciate you bringing that up. I think that you're questioning the need for the existence of the fund. Is that one of the things you are questioning?
The existence of it, and if it needs to exist, how much should it be? Now, it's just arbitrary based on what it's always been. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Let me comment on that, because if you go back and look at all the purchases that the land acquisition did, which were actual land acquisitions, they came about reasonably suddenly. Skip will appreciate one because he was involved in one years ago, and it gives us great flexibility to react to situations that we didn't know about when we created this fund, and most of those acquisitions were exactly that definition. And so it gives us the capability to react if something comes available that we need or wanted or thought about, or in some cases have to do it to solve a problem. So it's been used very well. It solved a lot of problems, and it certainly should stay where it is.
Yes.
Thank you, Gary. Anyone else?
You know, and again, one other point with Gary, and correct me if I'm wrong, Jerry, but did we not utilize some of that fund during the hurricanes, and then we had to go back and replace that, but at least we had the funds available, and then we didn't use, okay. Okay. So correct me if I'm wrong. Thank you.
Well, there's a bigger discussion here, which we will have. Yes. Oh, Mark. Is that Mark?
Good afternoon, Council. Mark Valerian, 4754 Dixie Drive. I don't know the whole history of the land acquisition fund, so I'm a little bit behind the eight ball on that. But here's my thoughts. I'm a realtor or broker in this town, and there are hundreds of people leaving our town for various reasons. They don't want to deal with hurricanes anymore, deaths in the family, et cetera. One of the biggest reasons is the cost to live here, the cost to live here in insurance and also in property taxes. I know this because I've talked to these people in talking to them about listing their homes and why they want to leave such a beautiful town. So my first thought about this subject is, and I'll try to stay on this subject, is if it was initially put together for land acquisition, then we as a public and as a council should identify opportunities to make land acquisitions. That's what we should do first. And if there are no good uses of the money, then the second thing that should be done is a full consideration of returning it to the taxpayers and the residents. And that's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you, Mark.
Go ahead, Bill.
I agree, but we have, when you look at the list of the things that have happened over the last 15, 20 years and the $8 million that have been spent that we were given, there are things that really helped every single citizen in Ponce Inlet. It wasn't like we weren't doing things for the citizens. We weren't doing it for us. We've made it safer. We've given them opportunities for recreation. I mean, and the list is just so encompassing of wonderful things that this town had not would not have had because of it. And that's why that's just me. But
anyone else? Anyone in the public? Okay. Mr. Fields, please come up. Usually it's a one shot, but come on up.
You already spoke.
It would be nice to see that list.
Hmm? What was that?
It would be nice to see that list. Okay. I didn't know.
Oh, yeah. Every time when the council agenda comes out, a copy of it is put right in the main entrance.
That's no.
See, you didn't know that?
No, that's not what he was asking.
That wasn't my question. No. You say there were 15 to 20 items that have been used for the land acquisition fund for the last 15 or 20 years. It would be nice to see that list. Okay.
It was in the item.
Okay, I didn't go and pick up that. I'll go pick it up. I just want to look.
Thank you, Bill. Thank you, Mr. Fields. Okay, now, is there any more discussion on the ordinance that is before us today? Okay, so I will entertain a motion.
Looks like it's me. I make a motion to approve amending ordinance 2025-2, amending Article 7, Chapter 2, Section 2-322 of the Town Code of Ordinance to authorize the expenditure of funds allocated under Section 2-322 for purposes other than public land acquisition and public facilities subject to a 4/5 vote of the Town Council on first reading.
Second.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Milano?
Yes.
Councilmember White?
Yes.
Mayor Peritsky?
Yes.
Councilmember Villanella?
Yes.
Vice Mayor Smith?
Yes.
Motion passes 5-0.
Thank you, and thank you for all of the public comment on this ordinance. We are now up to 11B, Resolution 2025-02, extending the sunset date of the Public Safety Director Pro Tem position. Cliff, could you please read the resolution by title only?
Yes, ma'am. Resolution number 2025-02, a resolution of the Town Council of the Town of Ponce Inlet, Florida, extending the sunset date of the Public Safety Director Pro Tem as established by Resolution 2022-15 and extended by Resolution 23-14, providing for conflicting resolutions, providing for severability, and providing for an effective date.
Thank you. Mike?
Yes, thank you. Yeah, this position has been in effect since October 23, 2022. It was put in place to assist the interim town manager and the new town manager during the initial transition period. The position was extended for 2 more years until October 20th of this year. I'm proposing to extend this for another 2 years, which coincides with the end of Chief Scales' employment with the town. He is now in the drop program, and was originally expected to leave employment with the town on that date. But there have been changes to that program, which now allow him to stay for an additional 2 years. And so I would like to take advantage of that. This isn't just about helping me, but it's making use of his experience, his wealth of knowledge, and his communication ability to get the most out of him that we can. But if this was not approved, then he would be simply working as a department head and really confined to that role. We have in a serving department head. He served also as the IT person before he had an IT department. He's also served as interim public works director on several occasions. So that he has a full wealth of knowledge of emergency services and how these other departments work and is able to speak for all. This has been really critical as with his participation as a member of the budget team. And when we start talking about trying to decide what's needed, what's wanted, what's essential to have, he can speak for those. He can see the big picture of those departments and explain how they work and help prioritize those items. We've got some questions in since this packet that I'd like to address. One of those is this resolution employment contract. And the answer to that is no. This is just an expression of the council's intent for this position. We only use employment contracts for people that don't, are not employees of the town. We've entered into employment contracts with former employees in case we needed their services, most recently to be with and before her, a ref Giovanni. But as an existing employee, we use the town's employee rules and regulations and benefits manually. I was asked, if not in the contract, how are his extra responsibilities and compensation handled? This is essentially a stipend that he receives. Stipends, like for all the stipends that we use from employees that are taking on extra duties beyond their job descriptions, comes with a list of responsibilities and compensation. And this is covered by the employee. For that, what he is receiving in compensation is equal up to 20% above standard pay. So that's what it's been since this was created. She has accomplished a long list of things since he's been doing this job, but I'll give you the ones that feel most meaningful to me. First of all, I mentioned he has served as the interim public works director on more than one occasion. In that department, since 2020, we've had four different directors. And think about that and the kind of upheaval that creates in a department, especially one that is essential to day-to-day activities and maintenance of this town. At each point, he's been able to step in and he's going to take over that job and it can do his own as fire chief. Another one has been his work as part of the budget team. As I mentioned, he is a crucial part of that and can speak for those four departments and deciding what's most important. And then the third one, he is often instrumental in helping secure appropriations for the new generators, which we're going to be looking at later today. That's the new generator for the community center and the replacement generator for the fire station. So he has participated in every step along the way, that helping with the applications, going with the mayor and I when we meet with our legislators, and it has been a really important part of that. So I've also been asked, well, what happens if you were to leave before the sunset period? If that were the case, I'd have to look at other arrangements. I first try to see if there's an interested person who could fill in that role that would be someone that had to have that same wealth of experience. If not then, I'd be looking at some other kind of position or help. That's something I have to think about. But right now, what matters most to me is having the assistance, his wealth of expertise, and then being able for the town to benefit from during this period before moving with us. So with that, I'm recommending approval. I ask for your approval, and I'll be happy to answer any questions if you have.
Thank you, Mike. Would anyone like to speak first?
Yeah, I'll go first.
Go ahead.
Michael, first, thank you. Some of those questions were mine, and you really shortened up my presentation to about 5 minutes. So we're all thankful for that. The first question I have, and it's the wording in the resolution. First, it's temporary position, and the other is initial transition period. In my opinion, those two lines should be removed. Or do we even have to have a resolution? Because we all trust and believe in Mike Disher, Michael, and we believe in Dan Scales. So why are we going to continue to use temporary position and the verbiage initial transition period for Michael? They've both proven themselves. They both said that this is what we need to help run our town. So I'll ask legally, do we have to have a resolution? Can we not just make a decision to strike temporary and take out the words initial transition period because it's over anyway?
Separate issues. The way this is structured now, those are simply historical references because it states that on September 15, 2022, we created the temporary position. So that was what we did then. And it was to assist the interim town manager, again, which is what he was at the time. So it's a historical statement. It is not, this is what it is today. To answer the bigger question, which is, do you need to keep it the way that is by resolution and not just create the position? No. You have the authority, as you did to start with, to create the position and say, we've seen that this position is an aid. And we recognize, for example, that it might not always be Chief Scales that fills it, but we would like someone to fill it so that the manager or future manager, as it may be, would have the opportunity to bring us a candidate for the position that will have similar skills to Chief Scales and be able to fill that void if Mr. Scales ever does decide that he's had enough, which he says he's not going to say that, but you get the point. So, yes, you have the authority as the town's governing body to create a position, just as you've created many other positions, and I can't think of all of them, but there are at least a few that have been created in my tenure as town attorney.
Correct. Well, I'm sorry. To follow back.
No, I was just wondering, so what you would like to do is create the position.
That's correct.
So that when Chief Scales retires, but I have a question back.
Sure.
What if the type of help that the manager needs is more in line with an assistant manager?
That was the point, Mayor, I was going to make.
Go ahead, sorry.
No, but you're right. So my if you look at Michael's notes, and again, you know, I asked the question, what happens if Dan decides to retire within a year? That's when Michael makes his business decision and says, you know what, Dan did a great job for me. My needs have changed. He comes before council, and this title gets changed. You know, the position, this position gets void, and then Michael creates any additional new position that he sees fit that he presents before council. That's just my thoughts.
Bill?
Well, right now we're looking at a temporary. I call it a supplemental position because that's what it is. A person is getting a supplement. They're not getting benefits. They're not getting money in the FRS retirement system. They're not getting apps. Nothing is added. It's a supplemental position. At this point, what I would look at if I was doing it, which what I did for 20 years, the first thing I would do if it ever happened again is I would go to the staff and see if someone else wanted that supplemental position if they had the qualifications before I would ever put a full-time position in, because then I'm paying, in my case, when I was doing a budget, I had to take 23% just for benefits in my salary for a teacher. Then I would have to put my FRS money in. Accountants have a problem sometimes, and I'm going to explain to you why. One of accountants came in because I had a habit. When I was building a master schedule, and I taught teaching the master schedule in Broward County, what, fifth largest district of the nation. And the one thing you did is if you had five classes or two classes or one classes left, you'd go to a teacher and ask, do you want to teach an additional class? I'm saving all those benefits. I'm saving all those monies. And we were allowed to do that. Well, an accountant came in and said, oh, gee, if you have five classes, and I always made sure my teachers never had more than two preps, and there were five classes, and never had more than two preps. Well, if you have these leftover classes when you're building the master schedule, you want to give them to the people that are there so you don't have to tire and cost you thousands and thousands of dollars of money. So it's a supplemental position. Well, we would do that. Well, this person came in and said, oh, no, you can't do it. If you have five classes, you have to hire an additional teacher. Well, you hire that additional teacher, and your budget mushrooms because of staff, and then you don't have the money to run your school in the supplemental things. So I love what Skip said concerning keep it the position. Let Mike make the decision of whether he ever wants to make it a full-time position. Understanding when we look at that budget, we have to say, is the money there? Remember what happened in 2015? Janine put it in there, and it got cut out of the budget because we were trying to save some money. So we have to look at it that way. What is best for Ponce Inlet? What you said is 100% best for Ponce Inlet right now, and that's Dan staying at the decision. In 2 years, let Mike make the decision on what he wants to do. But if it gets into that thousands and thousands of dollars of money, I have a feeling this council is going to say, find us up. Go to the rest of your staff and see if one person on staff wants to do the things that Dan's doing.
100%.
That's just old school to me, to save a buck.
Okay. Mike, do you have anything to say in response before I move on with the other council members?
No, just that I agree with that, and that's exactly what I would do.
So okay.
It's much cheaper and cost-effective to award a stipend or ask someone to do something extra than it is to create a brand-new position. So it's really what we're getting, but Dan is a bargain.
Very good. Okay. Gary?
Well, basically, since I've been here since it was created and watched it mature, and you two fellows that have spoken earlier have pretty well got it in hand, that we had a need, we had a person that could fill that need on a, quote, temporary basis. It was never made to be permanent, and the new person that you hire to fill other positions may not be capable of filling this That's right. position. So you've got to remain flexible that it's Michael's decision when the time comes.
Yes, that 100%, yes.
I think that, Joe, I don't want to talk for you. I think we're all in agreement. And if I can say, Chief Scales, thank you for all that you stepped into doing this for public safety. You were able to just wrap your arms around all of it, and you know, you're now experienced with all our hurricanes and everything, but the benefit to the town has been significant, so thank you. I'll open this up to the public. Would anyone care to comment on this ordinance, on this resolution? There is nobody. Okay, so I will take a motion.
Okay, so let me get one thing clear, though. So I can't change the verbiage, Cliff. I know it's just a time thing, but I'm still hung up on temporary and initial transition period, but I'll live with it.
I understand that, but again, if you read it in context, it is talking about a historical event. On September 15th, the town council adopted a resolution that created the temporary position of blah, blah, blah. So that's something that actually happened.
Okay.
It's not about what's happening today.
Okay. I hate calling him pro tem, but you know, it is what it is. Okay, I'll make a motion to approve resolution 2025-02 as presented.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Roll call, please.
We're extending a historical document.
Councilmember White?
Yes.
Councilmember Villanella?
Yes.
Mayor Peritsky?
Yes.
Councilmember Milano?
Yes.
Vice Mayor Smith?
Yes.
Motion passes 5-0.
Thank you, and thank you, Chief Scales, for continuing in the role on our behalf. Thank you.
Okay, Council, thank you very much. I appreciate the discussion.
Oh, thank you, Mike. Okay, so we are at 13A, the approval of FPL's agreement designated the town's community center as a staging location. Chief Scales, thank you.
Good afternoon, Mayor, members of Council. Thank you. I just want to comment on that last item, if you don't mind. It really isn't about me. It's about the staff here, the people that we have, and I get the opportunity to work with are fantastic. They make my life easier, and I look at my role as making their life easier. So it really is a team effort, and the same thing with Council. You all make things much easier for me, and I'm just here to serve and do what I can do for this community. So thank you for that. With that, I'm happy to have this before you this evening, this afternoon. We have come to an agreement with FPL to provide a staging area, temporary staging area at the community center. This is something that we've wanted to do for a long time. And as we all have unfortunately realized in the last couple of years, not having resources on scene to restore power really delays the restoration of power. Once we get assets in town, it goes by pretty quickly. So the problem was we didn't really have a place to put them, that we could put them. With the community center receiving a new backup generator soon, we have the capability now to power the community center if we lose power and provide facilities, bathroom facilities, cooking facilities, air conditioning, and so on and so forth. So we felt, in working with FPL, that would be a good place to put FPL workers. Now, they may not be here before or during the storm, but if they know they have a place to go to immediately after, they'll get resources here that much quicker. And I'll be banging the drum to get them here, too, so don't worry about that. So I've talked with the community center staff and Mark O, and he's very supportive of it. The specifics of what would be there and who would be there, we would work out later on after today. And I know there was a concern about, you know, we talked about the community center being a point of contact for the community if there is a disaster, someplace that they could go, get air conditioning, store medications, and things like that. And would that still be an opportunity for the community? And the answer is yes. That's important to us to make sure that that facility is available to the community in whatever form and fashion we can make it. And we will make sure that those two operations coexist, FP&L staging, but also having facilities for the public for whatever they need. And with that, happy to answer any questions.
You know, Dan, if you could perhaps address a little bit, I had told the council that I would give them an update on underground cable discussion and the meeting where this became an idea, I think started partially when we were talking with FPL on the cost associated with having underground capabilities. And if the goal of having underground capabilities would be to get the power on quickly after the hurricanes, that's one of the thoughts that if we have that, I will share with everybody, Gary was right. Nothing's changed. Everything's too expensive. I can get into more details, but Gary, nothing's changed. So what happened was, as we were talking to FPL, maybe you want to share, you know, what came of it with Tony Tucci.
Sure. Yeah. We had lengthy conversations with FPL staff on undergrounding utilities and what advantage it would be to the town, especially if we do Atlantic Avenue. And I was quite surprised to find out that FPL does have a undergrounding schedule in it for the whole state of Florida. And we thought, well, great, we have got to be on that list someplace. Well, the list is only a three-year rolling list, and it's based purely on outages. So unless you're a repetitive outage community, you're not going to get on that list ever. And unfortunately or fortunately, Ponsonnet really is not considered a repetitive outage community. And if you remember, FPL spent a lot of time, probably 4 or 5 years ago, hardening all the Atlantic Avenue infrastructure, doing a lot of tree trimming around town. And talking with the FPL staff, they said, ironically, Ponsonnet has probably one of the most robust stretchers of feeder lines on Atlantic anywhere, even better than Wilbur. They said, you know, you leave Ponsonnet and go to Wilbur, it's a whole different ballgame. So undergrounding, and this is not my opinion, this is just information that we have gotten from FPL, undergrounding, in their opinion, really would not benefit us. There's a myriad of reasons why it could be a problem. It's expensive. It can delay restoring services. And at some point, the wires come out of the ground, and that becomes a new weak point. And as we experienced during Milton, once we got most everything back up and running on Atlantic, we had that hunk of whatever it was on the lines in Wilbur, which delayed everything being put back into service. So in looking at all of these options as far as restoring service, we really think that having FPL here sooner really is going to benefit not just Atlantic Avenue, because it's all those services and houses that went down that they'll be able to get back in place quicker. So, you know, if we had the money to spend on undergrounding, I would say buy everybody a portable home generator first. That money would probably go a lot further than just undergrounding those utilities. So with that, that's kind of the gist of the underground.
Yes, process. That was the gist, because we did get a quote, Gary, $2,600,000 cost of a total project that didn't include a laundry list of things. So I was very excited when we were talking with FPL that they would even consider us as a staging area. And, you know, I asked Dan, can we get them here, like, before the storm, and they could stay at the community center? But regardless, if they know they can set up here, especially knowing that Ponce Inlet has to deal with the weak point of Wilbur because they're not doing anything. So the aesthetics of going underground, that's a whole other conversation, but for purpose of restoring you know, our service, I think this is great. And the contract, I know, has been reviewed by our attorney, yes.
Yeah.
And so does anyone have any questions of Dan about this? This is a good thing.
Just one quick comment.
Yeah.
And again, this is a real-life example, and I shared this with Dan at one of our meetings in 1998. Everybody remembers the fires of 98. Mm-hmm. I was division president at U.S. Food Service Ormond Beach before we moved to Port Orange. We were off right off U.S. 1. Well, we had a generator. We had a warehouse full of food. We had two massive retention ponds out front. I saw the firefighters go by. I got in my car and went and found the chief and said, hey, look, if you guys need a place for respite, come in our building. We have places to sleep. We have all the food you can eat. We have generator. Oh, and by the way, you can fill up your fire trucks out of our retention ponds. We had fires all around our building, and we never got touched. Never got touched. And that's an honest to God true story. So there is major benefits of doing this. So all for it.
Yeah, we agree. Thank you.
So any questions on the contract? No.
Just one statement. Last year, Dan, with Milton, remember where they staged? They staged at the Jerry's parking lot.
Yes.
And we were, yes. Once they got over the bridge when it opened, we had electricity within 30 hours because they stayed.
Right.
They didn't leave that night.
And the challenge, funny you should mention that, I talked with, as you all know, I was shuffling FPNL throughout town to make sure they got things back in service. They had no restroom facilities.
No.
7-Eleven would not let them use the restroom facilities. It was that's why I said, Mark, open up the community center. We got to give them a bathroom. It's crazy that they wouldn't do that. So, yeah, we think that this is very beneficial to the town. Yeah.
So anyone in the audience have any? Barbara.
Barbara Davis, 4871 Sailfish Drive. I just have one question. According to our vulnerability assessment, if we had even close to a Category 1, this would be the only building that is not flooded. So would we in the contract want to put as an alternative site, if the community center were not available, they could stage up here?
Yes, and thank you, Barbara. That is an excellent idea. And Chief, can we?
What I would recommend, and I'm happy to do it, I would just have another agreement for this building, a separate agreement. And
a separate agreement.
It would be identical to this agreement. I think that would be cleaner, but we can absolutely do that, yes.
Wonderful. Okay, thank you, Barbara. Anybody else? Okay, seeing none, I'll take a motion on the approval for signing the agreement.
I will make a motion to use the Ponsonby Community Center as a staging area agreement with Florida Power and Light, and authorize the town manager to execute the agreement.
Second.
A motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Hearing none, the contract can be executed. And thank you, Dan. Okay. Now we are at 13B, and acceptance of bid from Accurate Power and Technology for the replacement fire station generator. Mr. Wargo.
Good afternoon. Steve Wargo, Public Works Director. Yes. we have set this up. We did the bids, and the bids came in. This is also a grant opportunity from the fire marshal. So, therefore, it's a little bit different. So, unlike the DDS, where we had to get everything approved by the grant people before we move forward with it, this one we have to get everything done and the contract put into place before we turn it in for the grant money. So it's a little bit different, but it still works out to be the same. So when we put it out, we had already talked to the fire association, and they agreed to do a 50% match. So put it out to bid. We got the three bids came in that you can see, and Accurate Power came in at $58,980. I did my due diligence and talked to them about what was going on, what their plans were, and they have actually done work for the city of Ponce Inlet before, and they were actually happy to come and bid this. They've done work for several different cities and got some good ratings from Ormond and from Edgewater and Daytona. Definitely feel that they would be a good fit to do the emergency generator at the fire station, which it's on its last legs. I just had to okay and approve spending another $3,500 to keep it running until we can get this done.
Okay, thank you. Does anyone have any questions of this? No?
Just one small one.
Yeah, go ahead.
And Steve, thank you. The question I have is, I looked at the generator pricing, and it seemed kind of like this for this particular unit, but then also your next presentation, and it seemed the pricing on the generators varied $20,000.
And they can. I mean, yeah. DDS admitted to me that their price of $78,000
right.
Included, they forgot to separate the transfer switch.
Okay.
So their price included the transfer switch for $78,000, or actually they would have been low bid because their price for the generator was only $52,000,
okay.
And then it was another 20-some thousand where they came up with their $78,000
right.
as a total bid. They forgot to separate it.
Yeah.
But it comes with – that's why I did the scope of work like I did
right,
and just
right.
said – I didn't say we want a Cummings or we want, you know, a Ring Power or we want – you know, because we want to be able to get the wattage that we need to run the building, no matter whether it's a Generac or what it is. And with that being said, each one of those different ones have different, you know, costs. You look at the DDS one for the community center.
Mm-hmm.
They were $30,000 less than the next lowest bid. But because he's a Generac dealer, he gets a really good price on Generac generators. And same thing with Accurate. They are the dealer for the generator that they propose, which they get a way better price than most
right.
people.
Yeah, and the last thing is for me on the Accurate, what I saw was they had the generator on there, for $58,980, but then the ATS replacement, I guess. ALT, whatever that is.
That's the transfer switch.
Okay.
So right now there is a transfer switch at the fire station.
So we'll utilize that.
Hmm?
Are we going to utilize that transfer switch? Okay.
Yeah.
They had $21,000 in here, but they didn't total it. And that's why I was wondering.
Yeah, because that was an alternate. Just in case we couldn't use it. We now know how much it'll cost if we need the new transfer switch and for some reason if we can't use the old one.
Thank you, Steve.
I'm good.
Anyone else?
No.
Anyone in the audience have any questions on this item? Seeing none, I'll take a motion.
Make a proposal or motion that we approve the awarding of the bid 2024-05 to Accurate Power and Technology for $58,980 and authorize the town manager to execute all the necessary agreements to proceed with the project.
I'll second.
A motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Hearing none, the motion passes. Thank you, Steve.
No problem.
And I think you could stay up here for the next one if you would like.
Yes. So the generator at the Public Works is done. It's broken. It can't be fixed. During Milton, we did have a small 10,000-watt power gas generator that we were able to start and plug in so that we had basic essentials like lights. We had no AC, we had no computers, but we had lights, and we could get out and start getting cleaned up. So what I'd like to do with this is we have that money in there for Building B, and part of the money for Building B was to put in a new generator. So I put the scope of work out to not only do a new generator, but in order for us to do the demolition of the old Building B, all the electric that feeds the entire compound runs through Building B. So I needed to move that electric over to our current office and main building so that the feed comes in there so that I could demo Building B safely and still have electric. So not only does it